Let us pray as we enter into this time of reflection. Loving God, help us to drink from the wine that you provide, that we may see again the model that you hold out for us as we take in your abundance. May we break through the fears that hold us back. As we stand in your grace, open our hearts further that we may see as you see and love as you love. Holy One, as we look to Jesus, our light and our salvation, help us to grow in that likeness. This we pray in his strong name. Amen. So in 2017, how many of you went to a wedding? Wow. Just the two of us?
There's one over there.
Oh, a couple more. Excellent, excellent. Sorry, missed the side. Obviously didn't turn my head enough. Well, at least there's a few of us. Weddings, they're kind of big things. They were big things now, and they're big things in Jesus' time. And while now we celebrate the love of two people that they find in each other and the commitment they make, back in Jesus' day, it was a celebration more of two families joining in ways beyond the sometimes lip service that happens today. A wedding back in Jesus' day brought two families together in intimate ways, into trading alignments and alliances, into pacts of protection. A wedding could end a dispute over territory. Marriage could even settle disagreements for the right bride price. Sometimes, marriages were just about continuing the family line through having babies with a suitable woman. Whatever the reason, today's scripture drops us right in the middle of a wedding celebration. We are not told who is getting married that day in the village of Cana. All we know is that Jesus and Mary were there, and the disciples had been invited, along with probably the whole village. For when you live in a village, you know and you work and you live with absolutely everyone who lives there. And you become like a family even in the remote possibility that you're not actually related. The bride and groom had said their vows, and the party was well underway when Mary comes up to Jesus with a shameful secret that was about to get out. There was no more wine. In a world where hospitality was prized, running out of wine would have been horribly shameful. Think about the most shameful thing in the world to you. Maybe it's showing up to church and forgetting to put your pants on.
You wait to get there to put it
on. I don't know. Got some laughs. Thinking about things that are shameful. Well, it's a nightmare for some people.
It is.
I don't know about you, but maybe it's one of mine on nights, days when I preach. Showing up unprepared. Mm. What is your most shameful thing? In first century, hospitality and not living up to those expectations would have been like walking headlong into what you find today as your most shameful event. Mm. And this lack of potential hospitality happening just as you are celebrating and binding a new relationship between two kin groups, well, this was a major faux pas. Would running out of wine cause enough disruption to dissolve the marriage? I don't know. But it would have been enough to call into doubt and question The host's responsibility to fully participate in any deal struck during the alignment and arrangement of the marriage. Not to mention the social shame. You wouldn't be able to walk through the village without everyone knowing you were the one who forgot to buy enough wine. And who wants to be that person? We aren't told why Mary takes it so personally that the host lacks wine. Perhaps she was a relative of the bride or the bridegroom. Perhaps because of that, it directly impacted her. After all, shame and fame run through family lines and stick to you like glue. With the standing of her family potentially on the line, she would not let her family fall down, even if this was a distant and extended family member. And so she comes up next to Jesus and asks if he can help fill the gap. By the standards of the day, Jesus goes overboard as he provides wine. He provides not only the finest wine, but also more than just a bottle or two. We're told that he fills 6 large clay purification jars. Now, to get an idea about how much that would be, a conservative estimate is 450 liters. I can't even picture how much 450 liters would be. Definitely way more of those little wine boxes. Could probably build a wall between you and I today. But that's what he does. And isn't that what Jesus always does? Goes beyond what we expect, overwhelms us with his grace. He comes into the middle of shame and poverty and shines abundance. He comes into our fear and anxiety and brings calm. He comes into our uncertainty and apprehension and clears a way forward. In our weakness, his great strength is revealed. Through all of Jesus' interactions, we are shown what abundant life means. When we consider closing ourselves off and dismissing the needs around us, echoing Jesus' initial response, "What concern is this to us?" there's a spirit that moves within us and calls us to action. It reminds us that the abundant life is only possible when we share what is given. When we work together, there is always enough time and talent and treasure to go around. As God's beloved, we have been promised abundance in Christ. But this abundance is not just for our family. Not just for a select few of us who benefit from the social systems, who've been able to amass wealth or power. It's an abundance that is open to all of God's creation. All that God called good in the beginning. All that Christ holds as beloved. It is an abundance of purpose, of safety and of worth. And it is an abundance of life and joy and release from worry and fear. It is abundance of knowing that we are all kin and live in ways that reveal that truth, even if we're not kin by marriage or blood. It is an important message for us to hold on to today and to embody beyond just holding on to in our hearts and minds, especially in our time when the President of the States spews racist remarks towards people of an entire continent and beyond. Especially in a time where these messages continue to uphold and support old class divisions that seek to hold others back. It is important to hold on to and to embody this truth about God's love for us all in our own country, where in Toronto, an 11-year-old girl was attacked having her hijab cut by a grown man. It is important to hold on to, as we hear again in the news of First Nations youth who are dying of suicide at an alarming rate. And when we even see the rate of our own youth from European ancestors printed in black and white. This abundance for all is an important message as we hold on to the reality that there are still millions of people who have been dislocated from their homelands by war and violence and are wandering without a place to call home. It's an important message when there are people on our own streets who have no food and who struggle to find warmth. Our world is not an easy one to look at. As complicated as the most complicated family relationship. And it can be easy to look at these problems so distant for us in geography and in social relation and ask that question that Jesus asked, what concern is it to us? As followers of Christ, as people who try to live in the light and follow his path, it is our concern. Because time after time, Jesus responded to the needs of others. Time after time, his love overshadowed everything. Time after time, people were provided for out of God's grace. Time after time, abundant wine was set forth and the finest bread given. And in our own lives, we have touched that love. We have tasted that meal. We have been wrapped in that love and forgiveness. We have responded to the call to come and taste, to come and sit at the wedding banquet. And by doing so, we make it our concern as we join in the celebration. Now, this is challenging. We might not like to hear it. It is challenging because it means giving of our time, our talent, and our treasure. It is challenging because it means stretching ourselves, and then once we're comfortably sitting at the banquet, enjoying our wine and our bread, to stretch ourselves again. So we can continually grow in Christ-likeness. It is challenging. But it is worth it. As Christ's light and God's love and reign grows in all that we say and do, and the abundance God seeks for us is finally realized, not just here, but in the whole world. And so in the middle of this new year, in the middle of this wedding, of this joyous celebration, let us continue to offer the wine and the bread in our lives, now and always. Amen. But as far as our